Betty, a sermon question.
That Joseph might have still been alive because how they referred to Mary and Joseph, well, we know mother and father. I was wondering if they said, like, if they used a term like we do in modern English, late father or late mother.
So the question that Betty's asking is from the Gospel reading, John 6, 35 to 51. When they say, is not Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? And Betty's question is twofold. Does that indicate perhaps that Joseph was still alive at that time? Right? And the second question is, did they have a way of referring to whose late father we knew? I'll take the second one first. I'm not familiar with any language that would refer to like a deceased father or mother, how they would have said that. In terms of Joseph still being alive, I suppose it's possible, but I cannot think of another place in the scriptures where Joseph is specifically mentioned as being alive at that point. The last reference we have to him, Joseph, in terms of doing something, is when Jesus is 12. Whereas we do have many references to Mary from Jesus' time on the cross and other places. So, I'd be hard-pressed from that one verse to make the case that Joseph is still alive.
Okay.
All right, let's pray, and then we're going to do our Proverbs Catechism and jump into chapter 2. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would pour out upon us the wisdom that comes down from above, that through the Proverbs our lives would be shaped and formed after the pattern of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.
Amen.
All right, I'll run through our Proverbs Catechism. I will say, for myself personally, this was a week where I did a better job of using this almost every day. Part of it was that I had a two-day retreat, so a lot of time in the Word. But again, I commend this to you not only for Sundays, but as something to use individually, personally, in your time at home as a review on Proverbs. We'll be in Proverbs today, next Sunday, and the Sunday after, and then we're changing tack again. So we're not going to get real deep into Proverbs, but we'll have a little taste at the beginning in the next couple of weeks. A Proverbs Catechism, I'll ask the questions, you respond with the answers. What is the beginning of knowledge?
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
What is a fool?
Fools despise wisdom.
What part did wisdom play in creation?
The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, when I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth, I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily in his light, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing.
What was Solomon's prayer?
Give your servant an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil.
What did Jesus announce?
One greater than Solomon is here.
What does this mean?
The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men.
How do we follow the way of the Lord?
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths.
For what should we ask?
The wisdom from above is free.
your faith founded.
I know.
Men whose paths are crooked, and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good, and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now, again, in the section of Proverbs that we're in, this is less the like single verse statement followed by a different statement followed by a different statement. It's more of a narrative, a story going on here. And if you think of chapter 2 as a story, what is the story that's being told or being conveyed? What is the main thrust of this chapter?
Take the words in. I mean, to dwell on them.
Okay, take the words in and dwell. We'll look in more detail about what that means. But yeah, take in what words? God's word, right? It's couched here at the beginning. As a father to a son, we talked about that. Proverbs as Solomon, perhaps to his son and heir Rehoboam. But on a bigger scale, these are the words of God to those who are sons of God. And the invitation to receive the words. Now, last week in chapter 1, we heard the sort of dueling voice, wisdom crying out, but then the adulterous woman crying out as well. And which voice are we going to listen to? Here it's the Father's instruction to keep to the words that he's giving and to hold out of them. And there's the thrust. Now, there is a sort of journey that happens because who is introduced partway through chapter 2?
Devious and adulterous.
The devious men are mentioned, yeah. So there's a sort of this dark turn that it takes about verse 12. A dark turn, and then from there it introduces another character. Joe, what did you say?
The forbidden woman.
The forbidden woman, the adulterous woman, who's going to be a temptation to the son. And that comes in verse 16. So we've got this sort of journey, but then it ends back on walking in the way of the good. So let's take it section by section. I'm going to reread a couple of verses. We can talk about those, and then we'll move on as we're able to. 1 through 5. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So what is the son being urged to do here?
To speak and listen.
To seek out wisdom by listening. It refers to two parts of the human body. Which parts are mentioned?
Eyes and ears.
I don't recall the eyes particularly.
How can you seek without your eyes?
Well, right, okay, you seek with your eyes. But the ears are mentioned explicitly, right? So,
mouth.
And the mouth is mentioned, and we got a third one. The heart is mentioned as well, right? So we've got the ears, the mouth. Where was the mouth? From the mouth of God, that's in verse 6.
6.
Yeah, so we'll get there. So the ears are open, being attentive to wisdom, and the heart being inclined to understanding. Now, already here, this is, when we think of human beings, we ought not think of human beings as being born sort of neutral, always seeking out, you know, kind of potentially seeking out what is good. The one who seeks out truth and knowledge is one who's already been pulled into the path of what is right. Like they're being pulled that direction. So, letting your ears be attentive to wisdom, and your heart to understanding. Now, when we think about our world, what are our ears open to?
Whatever comes around.
Whatever comes around. Where does it come around from?
TV.
Okay.
Internet.
TV, the internet. What?
Oh, garbage.
Yeah, right. So, about this. It's not just like a filter, you know, listen to whatever's out there and filter it as it comes in. There is that. You filter things. But I do think that it teaches us more to go to the source of what we're hearing. It's what we're hearing building us up. Great, but if it's not, then do what?
Discard it.
Seek it.
Discard it. Or
seek out.
Seek out what's right and turn off what's not. Right? And I use the word turn off explicitly because I think we could do a lot more turning off. I'll just say this week, so I did my two-day pastoral retreat, and I used Michael and Nancy Jane Maurizio's condo in Lunenburg, which was a blessing. They were on their Eurasia mission retreat in the Canary Islands, and they did not see my request for their Wi-Fi password. So guess what I did not have? Thank you, Bill. I did have on my phone, I did have data if I wanted to use it, but my computer I didn't. And it was kind of quiet and, a blessing in that way. And you know what was feeding my soul most of all those 2 days? It was the scriptures, right? So this is, your ear being attentive to wisdom is not just a sort of radar trying to pick up a blip of wisdom here or there, but go to the source as well. And if the source is not a source of delivering wisdom, then we need to turn it off and listen to something else, right? Listening, first of all, to God's word. And I can't, I know maybe this sounds like repetition, but I need it, and I suspect you need it as well. What if the first thing that went into our ears in the morning was God's word? Or maybe our spouse first, right? And then God's word. This would be fabulous.
Yeah.
When Pastor Boyle was here for the continuing education class, he mentioned having visited a monastery once, and the first words out of their mouth in the morning that they speak are, "O Lord, open my lips," from the Psalms. What a way to begin. First thing that you say. Right? Or as Pastor Mike used to say, fall on your knees and say, "Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost." Right? Beautiful way to begin. Thank you.
I just want to make a point that God's word is always the truth.
Yes.
Whereas the world may not always know the truth.
True.
And
right.
So that it's so wonderful, whatever, for joy, for sorrow,
yes.
For a realm of emotions that a
yeah.
person may have, or whatever first thing in the morning, what you said,
yes.
Or things that are disturbing. God's word will always be there for the truth.
Always, absolutely. And I want to say, when it comes to the world things, take it or leave it. When I think about news, when I read the news, I do kind of take it in as if it's true. And then you read something else that's different, and you wonder, is that true? And I'm kind of ready just to be done with it, period. Because I'm not sure what I can actually trust anymore. And you know what? I'm not sure how much it matters if it's not something I can talk or see or hear about downtown or happening in my local area. I don't know if I need to be that concerned about it. So, okay, couple things. Luann and then Joe.
Satan does have to deliver it.
He does, right?
Did God really say that?
Yeah.
He will die? So now the evil out there want us to not believe anything we hear.
That's
so
true, but I think it also wants to distract us by things, whether they're
oh,
true
they,
or not.
But
right?
They,
yeah.
We need to cling to God's word. We
absolutely.
Know what's real.
Yeah.
We know what's true.
More time in the Proverbs, less in the news would be
right.
Beneficial for us. I don't think any of us would be disappointed by that. Okay.
So, in the Catholic Church, you do at the start of the gospel,
yes.
You always did this sign of the cross
right.
On the head, sign of the cross on the lips, sign of the cross on the heart.
Right.
I never understood why. Like, why do we do that? It just must be one of those routines that we do.
Yeah.
But then there was one priest who, when we started doing that, said, "May your good news be always in my mind, on my lips,
yeah.
And in my heart." I said, "Oh, I like that. That
yes.
makes
yeah.
sense about
absolutely.
Why we do it."
It becomes a prayer that these words would be
yes.
here, here, here. Absolutely.
Yes.
Just one quick point about the stuff. There's a reason they call it programming.
Programming? Yeah.
Next time you turn on the TV, just recite it in your mind. This is programming.
I like to do this with the kids. is always, now you know what they're doing, right? They want your money, and they want you to buy something. It might be a fun thing to buy, but just so you know, like, this is here so that they can get your money. That's the point.
It seems to me that chapter 2 is all about decisions and responsibility.
Okay.
And where you're going to get the support and advice you need to make the correct decisions.
Yes.
Yeah, the word influencer is like hugely popular today.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Everybody's influencers. And this to me seems like Solomon's version of, you know, telling his son, you're going to have great decisions, great responsibility, right? And he says that right here, his responsibility is going to be, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity in every good path.
Right.
And those are the things that you need to understand in order to make the decisions that, as my heir, you're going to need to make. But beware. He said, you know, get that from the Lord, because the influencers, and he names the two groups.
Yep.
He said the men will try to influence you in their way,
right,
with deceitful tongues and lips and so on and so forth. And then the women will also, and if you think about his position and where he is historically, that's so true. All the advisors, everybody who's going to try to influence him in this direction, and then again the women in their own way to influence him in this direction. But Solomon is just straight up saying, look, stand firm, look to God for your wisdom, so that you can then make the decisions in accordance with what I just learned.
Actually, you can carry out the work that you've been given. And I think I might have mentioned this last week, but it ties in, which is, even if you're not ruling a kingdom, so you're not Solomon's son Rehoboam, you have things that you are ruling over and decisions that are given into your hands. So it applies to us just the same. In verses 3 through 5, one of the things that jumps out at me is that the fact that we are invited to, or the son is invited to call out for insight and to raise his voice. So it's the opposite. Chapter 1 was wisdom calling. Now chapter 2 is the son calling out for wisdom. And what does he say when you call out for wisdom or for understanding and insight? What's going to happen?
You'll understand.
It will be given to you. Right? This is not a call into the void. It's not a give me wisdom and nothing's going to happen. But call out, raise your voice, and then it goes on. Seek it like what?
Silver.
Like silver.
And hidden treasure.
And hidden treasure. How do we seek for silver and hidden treasure?
We have to dig.
I mean, I got a treasure map recently to go searching for something.
With eagerness.
With eagerness, right? The 49ers, football team. Why are they named the 49ers? The gold rush, right? What do people do? They fought in California. I'm pretty sure a lot of them didn't find the windfall they were expecting, but they were seeking, right? So if we would seek earthly treasure in that way, why not seek for wisdom and call out for it and search after it? And then he says, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Remember what wisdom is, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. So when we seek, we will know God. When we seek him in his word, he's not going to be hidden from us. This is not going to be a vain or fruitless search. Does it mean, if I open the scripture seeking an answer to this question about life or that question, that I'm going to get an immediate answer? No. Right? What should I make for dinner tonight? Don't boil dough in its mother's milk. Okay. I suppose that's a legitimate possibility, right? In my household. So it's not a formula in that sort of way. But as we seek out wisdom, God is going to provide it for us through his word. And that's where verse 6 goes. So let's read 6 through, where that sentence ends, 6 through 8. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the path of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Where does wisdom come from? The Lord gives wisdom. If you want wisdom, where do you go? You go to the Lord and you ask him, because he is the source of wisdom. Very clear here. What might the world call sources of wisdom?
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia? I don't know. I think Wikipedia would be like a source of like entrance into a topic, but don't trust it too far. But yeah, so YouTube maybe, right? You want to know how to do something? You know, who was it? Mike Shalfo was telling me when he wants to do stuff at home. YouTube is great, right? What else? Where else might we seek wisdom?
It's intelligence. The world thinks that intelligence.
We might confuse wisdom with intelligence, right? So, if you want wisdom, you're living in Westminster, where are you going to go?
Boston.
You're going to go to Boston. And where are you going to go in Boston? You can start the library. You're going to have
to.
What?
I'm going to go to the town hall
and talk to the
politicians.
No, you're not going
to.
Oh, you go to the university?
You're going to go to the university. You're going to go to MIT, you're going to go to Harvard, you're going to go to BC. All of that, right? 40 whatever. That's where the world looks for wisdom. Right? And in some ways on a human level, you know, I don't mind being MIT engineers building my bridges. Right? It probably works pretty well. But in terms of wisdom for ultimate wisdom for life, right? That's not where we're going. Right? So Tom got a quizzical.
Sorry, I disagree.
Okay, go ahead.
With this statement that you
where we look for wisdom?
Yeah, where we look for wisdom is both.
Okay.
but there's a fundamental difference between wisdom and intelligence.
Yeah.
And intelligence is more akin to knowledge.
It is.
Or knowledge is directly related to intelligence, but certainly not to wisdom.
Right.
Right? So, you know, to go to a school to see, you know, the people who are building the bridges, you're seeking knowledge, you're seeking intelligence.
Right.
Wisdom is the skill, which we certainly need God to help us with, that helps us make correct decisions, that helps us. Wisdom is when there are two paths. And intelligence tells us the easiest path is the one to the right.
Okay.
Wisdom can often tell us, but the righteous path or the right path is the one to the left.
Absolutely.
Right? And so I think.
So they're not the same.
They're not the same.
They're definitely
two separate things.
Right?
Right? And you have to have wisdom, preferably, in order to make the most of the intelligence.
To know where to go. Yeah,
right. Exactly.
But I will say, I do think there's a sense in which we do confuse these things in our world, right? I mean, even when we think about, you use the term influencers, I'm always amazed, and maybe it's just because I'm a sports fan, the way that we give sports fans a pedestal, not just to tell me how to throw a football or shoot hoops, which they're really, really, really good at, but then all these other things that we're willing to let them weigh in on and give them credibility as if they have some special insight when they don't. Doug.
Well, Mike Power was a kid of yours. It was a great source of wisdom. It was Hollywood actors.
Hollywood actors, right. Right.
But it's the idea, similar to athletics, that we look for wisdom in people who are worldly successful.
Right, yeah. So worldly successful, whether intelligence or physical ways, that we look to them to be able to give us information.
Well, we think that they must have something.
Right.
Yeah,
they're successful.
So successful. Like, they're never right?
They're successful, so we give them our gear, and the scriptures would warn us against that. Christine?
Sometimes wisdom is experience, and we find that when we age, our grandparents and those who've gone before us who have experienced and lived can say, hey, you know, I tried this way before. So sometimes that is very good to listen to.
Absolutely.
Especially
as godliness. And this is why in Proverbs you don't hear the son saying, my father, listen to me and hearken to what I have to say. But you have the father saying to the son, listen to me. Jim?
Well, not all of us have had college education and have come up working hard.
Yeah.
But I found that listening to elderly people is gaining their wisdom.
Absolutely. And I think I said this last week, that there's a, if we think about kind of the people, this goes to Tom's point about the difference, in your life, the people you've known who have maybe had the most wisdom, they're probably not the same as the people who have the most degrees. Maybe they are occasionally, but probably not. You may think of someone who was simply hardworking and maybe had a high school diploma, but had lived through, had the lived experience and the knowledge of God's Word to provide a ton of wisdom for your life. Ray, and then Joey.
I'm thinking that somewhere in here it says that it's a fool who ignores instruction.
It's true, right? Yeah.
And so there are a lot of people that might come in, into our lives who have wisdom. Like, for instance, would I follow you or would I follow a new ager that is deceived? You know, it would be wise, of course, for me to follow you because you're a man of the Lord.
Right.
And we trust the Lord. So, you know, there are, like, even earlier, the prophets. It was important for people to follow the prophets because they had wisdom given by the Lord.
Yes. And wisdom, I think Tom's trying to point this out, wisdom doesn't always mean the path that's easiest or the path that is clearest. Sometimes it's the hardest path. The prophets in the Old Testament, what they had to say was usually repent and destruction is coming. And the people sure liked it when they had someone who would say something else. But they weren't sent from the Lord, right? So being able to take instruction, I can think of times in my own life, even as pastor, where I had had the humility to listen to what someone else brings and realize there's a lot of wisdom and instruction to offer me for whatever the sphere is that I'm thinking about or talking about. Yeah. Joanne?
I think a lot of times, too, we look to people who are financially successful and think that they're wise.
Right. So when we say we look to, I think this is something you need to get at. Where are you looking?
Oh. This.
No. I mean, when you look to people who are financially successful, where are you looking?
Around.
No. What do you mean? Not, you're not looking around. You're not finding a financial.
Television
and internet. This is very different than finding, having a financially successful person that you know and talking to. Right? I think that's a very different thing. A headline from Berkshire Hathaway about what we should be doing or where the best interest rates are right now online is very different than seeking wisdom from someone you know with whom you have a relationship. And I will just say this. When it comes theologically and spiritually speaking, there are a lot of wonderful resources online. I also, and I don't mean just here, but in general, see a lot of Christians who will listen to or pay attention to things that are being said by teachers and people who are far away from them and don't know them. There can be good things that you gain. I'm not saying it's all bad, because there's some very good teachers out there. But I think we have to be careful about this. I think about the podcasts I listen to and the voices in my ear that are voices that sound like familiar friends to me, and they have no idea. They don't even know I exist. Right? Steve Gould's different. He knows I'm here. Yeah, but they don't even know I exist, right? Versus a conversation that might be harder or more challenging face-to-face with the person that's actually in our life. Right? I think, you know, so we can think of seeking wisdom as doing a Google search, and I do not think those things are the same things. By any means, right? Seeking wisdom begins with God's Word, but if we're going to talk to people, get wisdom from people, let it be people that we know in our lives who we have a regard for because of who they are or what they've done or what they know.
And with the standing with God, as far as you can see.
Yeah, right. So, okay. Kristen, and then I'm going to go back to you for a couple.
I think you're basically saying consider the source.
Yes.
Consider the source of the Bible, because if you do a Google search, it's all algorithms. If it's
what
you want to hear.
Consider, well, but I mean, that's not all bad. I mean,
they figure out what...
Consider the source, and then the second thing I would add is consider your proximity to the source. It may be a fine source, but a source that you're not really close to or connected to. Right? And that's okay, but no, take it for what it is, and not for what it isn't. So my encouragement to actually lean into the actual relationships that we have here over relationships we have. I don't have it on me. Up there. What? I do not feel naked. I feel free and joyous. I have my watch. That's what I need. So, all right. Let's read on a little bit more. Tom had us already in verses 9 and following. Let me reread that. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you, understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech. We'll pause there. Just notice the promise that's given. As you call out for wisdom and the Lord gives it, what did he say you'll have? It'll come into your heart. You'll have righteousness, you'll understand righteousness, justice, and equity to carry out the calling that God has given you in this world.
Yeah. Knowledge.
You'll have knowledge.
Sheep's get blood, and you have to be wise before you really can.
Kind of does.
You have to take in knowledge.
Yeah, right.
What is knowledge?
Or not, knowledge certainly can't be applied well without wisdom, apart from wisdom.
And you'll have discretion.
And you'll have this, well, it doesn't even say you will have discretion, it will say,
discretion watches over
will
you.
Watch over you. Like discretion is this guard you, right? Understanding will guard you, and they will deliver you from the way of evil. This is where it takes that darker turn. So you've got now evil introduced. We need to be guarded because there is a way of evil. The scriptures talk about, Tom, you used it sort of two ways, two roads. There's a way of evil. And having this will help guard and protect us from the way of evil. It's not always clear. Sometimes you come to a path, and at the beginning, both routes look exactly identical. But where they lead is vastly different. Being able to discern it. Luanne?
So, based on this, could you look at wisdom as your conscience or your moral compass?
Good question. I would say they're not the same. Wisdom is informing. And your moral compass. I mean, ultimately, wisdom, and this is where that Proverbs Catechism pushes us, some wisdom is not so much an it or a thing as wisdom is a person and a him. It is Christ himself. Right? So our conscience, when we think about our conscience is our blessings from God. What we need is a conscience that's tuned by God's word. Right? A conscience can be falsely tuned. Someone can feel bad for something they shouldn't feel bad for, and someone can feel fine with something they shouldn't feel fine for. So we want that. We want wisdom to tune that conscience so that we might say, in sync with it.
Okay.
So we've got the evil men being introduced. We'll wrap up here in just a second. So the men of perverted speech, their way of evil, they forsake the path of uprightness. This is verse 13. They walk in the way of darkness. They rejoice in doing evil. They delight in the perverseness of evil. It almost just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. In case you didn't get where the path was leading with these guys, it's not good. Wisdom will help guard from them. And then, as we saw as well, verse 16 and following, you will be delivered also from the forbidden woman. Adulteress. With her smooth words, she's going to make an appeal. And her appeal is one, where does it lead? And this is one of the things I love about Proverbs. Proverbs introduces you to these decision points where the path may look the same. You're going into the woods, and both paths look like they're leading kind of the same direction, or they look the same at the entrance. But where does this path lead?
To death.
Destruction.
To death.
To death. It leads to death and destruction. And that has made all the difference, right? Two roads diverge in a wood, right? None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. A tremendous warning. You might say that there's a path here, two paths, and one of them has a sign saying, although you can't see it unless you've got the right light on it, abandon all hope, ye who enter here. This is the path of death, the path of eternal destruction. So as we wrap up chapter 2, notice where we you will walk in the way of the good and keep the paths of the righteous. And here's the end of that. The upright will inherit the land, and those with integrity will remain. How blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, like the new heavens and the new earth. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Well, yes, absolutely. Thank you, Lord. Now, again, this is not a formula where we can put in our situation and have it spit out exactly what to do. Wisdom is something to chew on, to mull over, to ask for. And then seek out the Lord's guidance. Seek it like you seek silver. Right? That we would be those who walk in the way of good and not in the way of evil, on the paths of the righteous and not on the paths of the wicked. So we are at 12:30. I think we'll pause here. So hold on to that. You can share with me on what to lay out. And I'll pull it in next week if we're able to. Next week we'll look at Proverbs 3. I may preach on Proverbs 9. I believe that's the Old Testament reading next week. So with us studying Proverbs, I may end up preaching on Proverbs next Sunday as well. I'll be thinking about that next week. Let's close with prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would grant to us wisdom. We want to seek it like silver. We want to search after it like a hidden treasure. And we do. Sometimes, God,